The founders of America said that our rights come from the Creator and that the purpose of government was to honor those rights. In contrast, the regime of Hitler and the Nazis in Germany in the 1930s and 40s was based on a totally different worldview, one predicated on the assumption that pure Darwinian evolution was the truth, as opposed to this being a world created by the Creator who gave us life and liberty. Retired history professor Dr. Richard Weikart of the Discovery Institute is one of America's leading scholars on the Nazis and Hitler, and he's written such important books as From Darwin to Hitler, Hitler's Ethic, and Hitler's Religion. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Dr. Richard Weikart joins us. And Dr. Weikart, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I'd like to have us focus on the Nazis and Christianity. And let me just start with this. There are still some people on occasion that will say, oh, well, you know, Nazi Germany, Hitler was a Christian or, you know, something like that. It's like, what? That's not true at all. And they know it, but people will say those things.
Yeah, it's great to be with you here, Jerry. Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, I don't know why anyone would believe anything that Hitler said, especially when he was running for office. But in the 1920s, Hitler did make some comments that people latch on to and claim, oh, that shows that Hitler was a Christian or whatever. Of course, the real truth was he was a politician and he was trying to pander to the beliefs of the people that he was trying to win their votes from. If you look at what happened, if no one has been able to find any comments after 1933, after he came to power, where he made strong comments, claiming to be compatible with Christianity. So all those comments that he did make, and he did make a few comments in the 1920s, it wasn't a lot, but a few, publicly claiming to be close to Christianity, was basically just for political influence. But interestingly, privately, even during that same time, privately, he was speaking against Christianity. He never went to church except for a few funerals or something like that. From the time he was a teenager, he didn't attend church or anything like that. And he had utter contempt for Christianity is the truth. And if you look at what he said in the 1930s and especially in the early 1940s, he expressed considerable contempt for Christianity, hatred for Christianity, and in fact made very clear that his God was not the God of Christianity.
Now, why would Hitler, why was he so involved, and the Nazis, why did they kill so many people? What was the goal?
Well, like you said at the top of the show, Hitler believed in the Darwinian struggle for existence. And so he thought that humans were locked in this struggle for existence, which he thought was primarily between races. He thought that it was the Aryan or Nordic race. Those terms were used interchangeably in Germany. The Aryan or Nordic race, he thought, was locked in this struggle for existence with other races around them. And so this is why he targeted people of other races primarily. So the Jews especially, not because he thought the Jews, interestingly, were the most inferior race. In fact, he thought that they actually had some strong intellectual capabilities and such, but he thought that they were morally deficient because he thought that morals were biologically ingrained. So he thought they were morally deficient. He thought he bought into all of the stereotypes of the Jews, that they were greedy and lascivious and, all these, lazy and all these other things. And so he thought the German people were superior. So he wanted to kill the Jews, the Slavs, the Gypsies, and other groups because he thought they were inferior biologically. And he was wanting to support the German race or the Nordic or Aryan race and to make them become the supreme rulers over the world. In fact, what he's trying to do, he thought that what he was doing was improving the human species. And so he thought it was actually a good thing to kill people.
That's just so astonishing. Now, I saw a statement just within the last week. This is part of what is the catalyst for this conversation. But there's a statement where he said, it doesn't matter what I'm going to be doing to the world or in the eyes of the world. Look how all those Armenians were killed and nobody batted an eyelash. And he was describing something that had happened 20 years or so before he came into power, or 15 years.
Yeah, and he also looked over at North America and said, look at all of the, you know, segregation laws in America. Maybe I should do that to the Jews. And so he actually copied some of the American segregation laws in doing so. He did look at other societies and cultures and said, see, they're all doing the same kind of thing, too. He looked at the, European colonization of the world, where they killed off Native Americans, Australian Aborigines, Aborigines in other parts of the world and such. And he looked to those as being part of that Darwinian struggle for existence going on because he thought the Europeans were superior. And so he saw that as being a good thing. He thought this was a good thing as the Europeans go out. By the way, Darwin in The Descent of Man also presents European colonization as being a good thing because it led to the extermination of what he saw as inferior races also. So this isn't just an idea that Hitler hatched up. This is an idea that had a long chain of that goes back to Darwin himself and goes through some other German biologists, Ernst Haeckel most prominently, since he was one of the most prominent Darwinists in the late 19th, early 20th centuries, but other German thinkers as well. And so when Hitler came on the scene, you know, in his political, beginning his political career in the 19-teens and 20s, there were actually a lot of German biologists and anthropologists who were saying similar kinds of things. They didn't have the entire worldview that Hitler had necessarily put together, but they were embracing ideas about racial extermination, racial competition, the Darwinian struggle for existence between races, the term that Hitler was going to use Lebensraum, which was a term that means living space in Germany, was actually coined by a Darwinian biologist who became a geographer. His name was Friedrich Ratzel. And Hitler took over that term Lebensraum because Friedrich Ratzel claimed that the struggle for existence was a struggle for space or a struggle for land. And so Hitler took over that idea, and that's why he launched wars of aggression against Czechoslovakia, against Poland, against the Soviet Union, because he was wanting to gain living space. And he made this quite clear in his speeches and other things too, or other utterances. So he was trying to gain living space. And this is all part of this Darwinian complex of ideas that had developed long before Hitler and was embraced by many Darwinian thinkers at the time, which I detail in my books From Darwin to Hitler and then also Darwinian Racism.
By the way, I just real fast, I want to revisit the Armenian thing just real fast. Sure. For those not familiar with it, around 1915 in that zone in Turkey, many Christians were killed. They were Armenians, but they were murdered by Muslims. And in fact, sometimes they would go into whole villages and line the people up, and they would give them a choice, Muhammad or Christ. And the Armenians had a phrase, Christ, only Christ. And then they would be bayoneted to death. Initially, it was shooting to death, but then they would just save their bullets. And they ended up killing a couple million people or whatever. This was the first genocide in the 20th century. It was not the last one. But Hitler had noticed that nobody in the world basically spoke out against these atrocities against the Armenians. And therefore, he thought he could get away with some of this stuff that you've just described.
Sure. And even today, Turkey is denying that there was a genocide that took place then. And there are some people that are still hesitant to criticize it because of Turkey's stance about it. But of course, the Armenians are still pushing very strongly to get it recognized as a genocide, which it was, as you suggested, one of the earliest genocides in the 20th century. Actually, there was an episode earlier in the 20th century in German Southwest Africa of an attempted genocide of a Native African group down there. And interestingly, there also were some interesting Darwinian connections at that time too, because General Trotha, who was the German general that was commanding the German forces in German Southwest Africa.
And please forgive me, but roughly what time are we talking about? Like 1910 or, you know,
1906. This was okay. 1906 to 1908.
Okay. In that zone.
Yeah, and the Germans basically drove the peoples into the desert, causing many of them to starve to death. They set up concentration camps. for these people and such. And so this was sort of a precursor in some ways. But General Trotha, the guy that was leading the German forces, he made very clear that he saw this as part of the Darwinian struggle for existence. I have a quotation in my book where he comes out quite forthrightly and says, this is part of the Darwinian struggle for existence against these races. And that's why we need to exterminate the Herero peoples.
So Darwinists do not believe, basically, I mean, those who take it to the nth degree, do not believe that human beings are made in the image of God.
Correct. And so, and because of that, they believe that humans really don't have any more value than anything else in the universe. If you think we're just a chance combination of chemicals, which many of those that embrace the full-blown Darwinian worldview do, then humans have no more value than any other creature out there. And so this diminishes the value of human life. And also humans, as well as other creatures, are locked in this struggle for existence. So death is just sort of an inevitable part. And death is not only an inevitable part of the Darwinian struggle for existence, but it actually brings about progress. It brings about something better, you know, through this struggle for existence. It brings death to multitudes, but then this small number of people, you know, survive and reproduce and become something better than what you had before that time. So this is sort of part of the Darwinian worldview. Now, obviously, a lot of people today have tried to, you know, push some of those elements of the Darwinian worldview aside, but ultimately, even those that, you know, get rid of the racist elements of it, they still are left with the element that human life really doesn't have any significant value or any significance in the universe.
So are you willing to go on record? Of course you are. But to say no Darwin, no Hitler?
Well, yes, I do think it would be true to say that no Darwin, no Hitler, in the sense that Hitler's worldview is so totally built around Darwinian struggle for existence. Now, that doesn't mean there wouldn't be other kind of atrocities. I mean, there were other people that committed atrocities in the 20th century that weren't basing their worldviews completely on Darwinism in the way that Darwin was. I mean, you got Stalin committing mass murder. Although, interestingly, Stalin was influenced by Darwin too, but not in the same way that Hitler was. Hitler was built his entire worldview around Darwinism, whereas Stalin was building most of his worldview around Marxism. Interestingly, there were interesting connections. When Friedrich Engels read Darwin's Origin of Species right after it came out, he wrote a letter to Karl Marx and said basically that this Darwinian worldview is an important element of you know, our thinking. And many Marxists later on were going to buy into some element of evolutionary thinking. Now, some of them didn't buy into the Darwinian struggle for existence, especially among humans. That sort of ran against their idea of cooperation and other things like that. But they really liked the idea that Darwinism had undermined the notion that there was any kind of a teleology, that is, purpose in the universe.
Teleology meaning end?
Excuse me?
Teleology meaning that the purpose, there is purpose in life.
Right. Right, exactly. There's no purpose in the universe. So in fact, Engels in his letter to Marx actually says that this denial of teleology is what we like about Darwin, is that it got rid of the notion of purpose, meaning, and such in the universe. And so a lot of Marxists, even though they don't agree with a lot of elements of the Darwinian worldview, they do like the idea that Darwin got rid of teleology or purpose or meaning or significance for anything. So even they're influenced in certain ways by Darwin.
Okay, we have less than a minute to go. In fact, about 40 seconds. How about a wrapping up comment? And by the way, I could ask you this. I mean, the Nordic race is very well represented in Norway. And of course, the Nazis invaded Norway in 1940.
Yeah, he actually wanted the Norwegians to reproduce and prolifically. He didn't go out mass killing Norwegians. He did take some of the Norwegian Jews there, but he tried to allow the Norwegians to incorporate them into the Germanic peoples if they would be willing to do that. Now, obviously, many of the Norwegians hated the Germans and weren't willing to do that, but he was willing to do that. But Hitler, basically what I argue in my book, Hitler's Religion, was Hitler was a pantheist. He wanted nature. He thought nature was God. And so the Darwinian struggle for existence, he saw as being part of God's will for humanity.
Wow. DarwinToHitler.com. We're out of time. Dr. Richard Weikart, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Great talking to you, Jerry.